Golf Friday.
We gotta have it now.
Powered by Bud Light, proud partner of the Seattle Seahawks. On your home for the Huskies and the 12th man.
You're getting high now. You're getting high. You're too high, baby.
Seattle Sports Radio 950.
Let's go get it.
KJR.
Chuck Powell, Bucket Jacobson, with you here on a Sports Radio 950 KJR. Bud Light Football Friday. Ashley Ryan here as well. And we enter the final hour of our week. Where we bring on the heavy hitters. Mike Holmgren a little bit later on, and for X's and O's, Hugh Millen now joins us here on Chuck and Buck. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're doing all right. We're doing all right.
Wonderful.
Yeah. You? You're doing all right?
It's good.
All right.
Very yeah. Good. Yeah. Good. Looking forward to getting the Huskies back in the saddle. Bye weeks are always good for them, but not so great for a fan.
Yeah, that's true. You got to wait a little while. Then the Seahawks, important game Sunday night here against the Steelers. And I guess I'm expected to probably start with the quarterback by asking him about the quarterback. But I want to start on the defensive side of the ball with you. Obviously, there are some major, major issues going on this Seahawks defense. And, boy, I think the Steelers have two offensive plays this year. Play number one is dink. And play number two is dunk. So if you're going to give this team the cushion that you've been given receivers, you're playing right into their hands. Aren't you expecting, hoping for a much more aggressive secondary coming up this weekend?
Well, they have to play. They have to play better. Certainly, what they've been giving up is in zone coverage. They have been giving up the middle of the field. So. You have what's called hook zone defenders. Those are the middle guys underneath, meaning closest to the line of scrimmage. And that's been a variety of people. It's been Jordan Brooks. It's been Bobby Wagner. It's been Jamal Adams. It's been Ryan Neal. They've had a lot of guys in the hook zone. And further exacerbating that is the old days of playing press coverage with their corners, meaning bump and run. Those are synonymous terms. When you play bump and run and when you're usually going to funnel the receiver towards the outside, towards the sideline, then the cornerbacks are in an inside leverage position, meaning if the receiver who's running up the field, who's now to the outside, if he wants to run an in-breaking route, he's got to go over the top or underneath the cornerback. That's not how Seattle corners play now. It's not 2013. It's not 2014. And so they play far more what's called press bail, where you're starting to press, but you bail out, and you bail out with an outside leverage and your knees in. So the corners are, they're retreating to their own goal line right before the snap, and they're in an outside leverage position as opposed to the inside. So that's giving those widest receivers easy access to the in-breaking routes. Well, all these, you know, Mike Holmgren would call them a dagger, or some people call them dig routes. Just these intermediate in routes are just killing Seattle, and there's a variety of ways that they're clearing out the underneath coverage, the inside coverage. Primarily, I'll just mention two. The innermost receiver, usually in its trips, but sometimes in a 2x2, the innermost receiver, when he runs a deep crossing route from one side to the other, gaining ground, the opposite hook zone defender, again, as what we said, just think of a baseball infield, the shortstop and the second baseman. Those are your hook zone defenders, the shallow guys closest to the line of scrimmage. They have to carry that crossing route. And sometimes they hit it, like when they hit it with the Rams hit it in that pivotal drive when Seattle had got close. And they got Cooper Kupp over the top of Jordan Brooks. But sometimes they just clear it out so that they can bring somebody else in. And then the other thing they're doing is just they hook guys up in the shallow portion, 5 to 7 yards from the line of scrimmage. And then Seattle defenders are biting up on that. And then you're throwing in behind them. So Seattle, just from a schematic standpoint, they've got to clean that up.
Yeah, they do. Okay, I'm going to ask about the quarterback. What is it like for Geno? What is it like for the team to go from Russell Wilson to the backup quarterback? I mean, extra preparation? Do other people have to jump in and kind of help with this whole thing? Or is this just, hey, you go do what you got to do, Geno, and everybody else just still focuses on their own?
Yeah, I think the team, you know, they probably want to go in and have confidence that Geno can do it. Certainly how he performed the other night will give them that confidence. You know, maybe DK Metcalf will determine, hey, this might be a good thing for me. I remember Jim Sacamano coming up to Shannon Sharpe and telling Shannon Sharpe, he says, hey, you know that you get targeted more and catch more balls when Millen's in the game than when Elway's in the game. And Shannon's like, wow, I didn't know that. Like, you know, so like it might be a good thing for DK. And but what he's got to do is, the other night he didn't really have to process because the Rams just lined up and they showed him a predominantly a four deep defense, three under, a four man rush, and he could quickly just say, okay, I'm going to just find the holes here. The Steelers, in part because they play often a three man, they've been notorious through the years, a three man front. That 3-4, they can blitz an extra linebacker, and you say, well, one of those linebackers is coming, but technically it's not a blitz. It's only a four-man rush. So they can get creative in their pressures. And then the other part of it is what's Pittsburgh going to do? A year ago, on first and second down, they were by far the most blitz-happy team in the league. They were 48%. That was 6 points. Percentage points higher than the next closest in terms of blitzing on first and second down. And now when I say blitz, I don't mean just that bring an extra linebacker to create four. I mean bringing two to bring five or more. But then on third down, they would kind of back off and they would just play coverage and generally a man-to-man. This year, they are blitzing with a far less percent on the aggregate counting all downs. There's only five teams that have blitzed with a fewer percentage. But again, let me emphasize the point. For a quarterback, you're still processing which of the four linebackers is rushing to create the fourth while you go ahead and throw against the standard seven-man coverage. So that's the first part for him. And then just, you know, relax and play his game and try and find the open guy. What I've determined, I have a spreadsheet going up. Been working on years, you know, to scout quarterbacks. And there are, I've identified 17 different decisions that a quarterback can make and you can grade him on, and then eight different skill sets, right? I mean, that's as comprehensive I could possibly think of how to evaluate the quarterback position. But if I strip it down to one sentence, what you have to do of those 17 decisions and eight physical attributes, what you have to do, you have to throw it to the right guy at the right time with accuracy. And right. That's if I had to just, you know, just condense it down to one thing, that's how the most important thing. And now you have to respond to pressure, handle blitzes. You know, if need be, he's got the wheels, he's got the athleticism to create with his feet. There's a lot more to quarterbacking. I'm saying the most important part, in my opinion, is figure out who to throw it to, when, and throw it accurately. If he can do that, he's going to have a good game, and Seattle's going to win the football game.
Our quarterback, our analyst, Hugh Millen, is with us. X's and O's this morning here on this Friday, getting you ready for Seahawks Steelers on Sunday night. You know, I'm just curious. Did you ever play with a receiver that had personality? I mean, Sharp, Irvin. Seems like a lot of dull guys that you.
Well, you know what? I love those guys. They because of the competitiveness, they care. You know, and Michael had, you know, he had the good sense that he was literally of, and I've said it before, I'll say it again. I play with 93 Pro Bowl players. That's what happens when you have a journeyman career, you know. But you're kind of touched by all of them, or at least you observe, you try and learn from all of them, right? And Michael Irvin was the hardest working of any that I ever played with. He practiced every play like it was the Super Bowl, and he always came back to the huddle and he said, hey, on an incomplete, he says, hey, I got to get that. You could bounce the ball 10 feet in front of him or throw it over his head by 20 feet. He'd come back to the huddle. I got to get that play. I'll make that play for you. And he later related, he says, you know, I don't know if it was his own philosophy or somebody told him, it's like, hey, if I'm bitching at a quarterback, then he's not going to want to throw it to me. And so I always want the quarterback to want to throw it to me. You know, so he had that philosophy. He was awesome. Shannon, I mentioned Shannon. We, you know, he had the we're playing the last game of the year, and he had never had 1,000 yards. And he was, and it came up. I was going to be starting the last game. Elway was hurt. And he had about 43 yards or something that he had to get. And he, you know, he had contracts, the whole thing. And the whole week, he's like, man, I got to get my 43 yards. Maybe it was 60, whatever. So, Shannon, we'll get you your 43 yards. Don't worry, don't worry. And he was just so uptight about this stuff. And so, you know, we're in the pat and go line, and you know, before the game, and I'm throwing every time he comes by, he says, "Remember, give me my 43." And I finally said, "Shannon," I said, finally, what is your bonus for getting the 1,000 yards? Pat Bowlen was the owner. He says, "Well." He says, I'm getting $1 million if I get 1,000. I said, all right. I said, well, what's my cut? And he says, well, shoot, I'll give you 50 grand. I said, 5%, okay. I said, the only problem is Pat Bowlen has offered me 100 grand not to get you the 1,000 yards. But at any rate, we ended up getting him 1,000 yards. But yeah.
Very nice. One topic that I meant to get with you yesterday in the roundtable, and we didn't get to address it. It doesn't look like Chris Carson's going to play on Sunday again. So he's going to miss his second game. Alex Collins, what's your feel on him now that you've got to get a little larger sample size of what he can do on a football
field? Didn't like a few of the runs the other night. The Rams really did not have a feel once he was getting to the second level where the line actually gave him some creases. I thought his vision, his second level vision on a number of times just wasn't what it needs to be. Kind of there were some cracks and whether it was a cutback or what have you, he just didn't sense where the hole was. So just me personally, I lost a little confidence in him. Again, not because he's not fast enough or agile enough or strong enough, but he's got to get the yards that are blocked there for him. And I didn't always see that. There was a time, you know, again, it was more than once, but the one that was most memorable to me, he had a cutback lane off to his right, and for some inexplicable reason, he was burrowing up right up the back of the lineman off to the left. And I looked at that a number of times, and that's just not what you expect to see from an NFL running back. And he showed that a handful of times. So let's just hope that now with more playing time that he sees the field better, and when there's some opportunities to go get some yards, he takes them.
Hugh Mellon is with us, our insider, our expert, our analyst here on Chuck and Buck in the Mornings. A little X's and O's session for you. So, I don't know. I mean, you started off talking about Huskies. I mean, I talked about the football weekend. You led with Huskies there, Mr. Mellon. You got something to say about the Huskies here?
No, not at all. Yeah, no, I was just saying that as I was starting to think of the weekend, yeah. Just right at that instant, I was thinking that it's going to be more fulfilling, you know, because we get a Saturday and a Sunday. But, I think it's a crossroads game. A lot of people have said it. Must win, calling what have you. I feel like the Huskies should be in as good a position with the bye week, getting guys healthy. The focus should be there. And UCLA, who is UCLA? You know, we didn't know what that LSU victory was going to be. And then of course they lost to Fresno State, and now they lose by 19 to Arizona State. Plus they're not only the team that didn't get the bye where the Huskies did, but on top of that, they're the team that's traveling. They may not feel comfortable if there's some mist or some rain. You got a quarterback in DTR, shorter guy, presumably smaller hands, you know, played high school football in Vegas, you know, not used to a wet ball. So that could mean there could be a fumble or two on the horizon for the Bruins. So I think that the Huskies have some things on paper that should be going their way. We'll see how the extra week off has, you know, kind of galvanized them in terms of their effort and schematically what they have to present.
Yeah, well, UCLA certainly looked better than the Huskies so far this year. But, you know, here's where you start turning it around.
Yeah, but, you know, again, losing to 19 by Arizona State, if UCLA happens to be on the downs swing and for whatever reason, I couldn't give you a lot of reasons to suggest that the Huskies are on the uptick other than they've had, a chance over the extra week and getting healthy to kind of crystallize what their goals are for the rest of the season. And if they have that mindset that they're a home underdog over the years, the Huskies as a home underdog. Now that's been in years where there's been a more rabid atmosphere, but you could cite a lot of games where the crowd kind of pushes the Huskies over and pushes them to a emotional peak that they can carry for 60 minutes enough to win in an upset.
All right.
So I know for 7 years in the 80s, you know, credit to Don James, 7 years, if you define a sunshine school as the four California schools and the Arizona, the two Arizona schools, if the sunshine schools of the Pac, then Pac-10, Washington went 7 years and did not lose a single game in Husky Stadium against the Sunshine School.
Oh, wow. Damn. Now, there's a stat. Yeah,
that's a lot of years.
From. Yeah, exactly.
Huh? Yeah, that's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, yeah. All right, man. I just want you to know you've been so great here at KJR. If you came to me before a show and said, I need 43 yards, I'd get you 43.
You'd get me 43?
Yeah, I'd get you 43.
Yeah. At some point over the course of 4 hours, you could get 43 yards.
If you said, well, I need 43 seconds to explain this, I'll get you 44.
I don't know that I've ever explained anything in 43 seconds, and I don't know if I've ever done anything in 43 seconds other than Mrs. Millen might have a contest that assertion, but I don't know. Ashley, what do you think? Can I drag you into the locker room on that one?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah. On that note, you guys have a good weekend.
You too.
See you, gang.
All right, there he is, Hugh Millen. He'll have a great week, and he's got Huskies and Seahawks to watch. Doesn't sound like Mrs. Millen's going to have much of a ball, though.
You can squeeze 43 seconds in there, I'm sure.
All right, Coach Holmgren joins us next. Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Hey, don't do that to me! Don't give me that hand! Don't do that to me!
Your home for the 12th man in the NFL presents Mike Holmgren.
Say, on sprint option, if they rush that guy that wide, loaded, doesn't get it done. Go to something else.
Brought to you by Toyota of Kirkland. Check out their entire vehicle inventory at toyotaofkirkland.com or stop by their showroom. Buy Redbox. Redbox has the newest movies fresh from the theater for under $2 a night. Go to the box or stream on demand. And buy Real Steel. If you want power and reliability, you want a Steel. Find yours at steeldealers.com.
This is what I have my little peewee guy, Pop Warner, when I start coaching, they can do it better than you guys. And I paid them in popsicles, not millions of dollars.
Now, Mike Holmgren on Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. Can't start it that way.
No, you can't. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, because everyone's riding on your shoulders now.
Hi, yes. A chat here on Chuck and Buck in the Mornings with the great Mike Holmgren, who joins us. Hi, Coach.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning to you as well. We got a great fall football weekend ahead of us. And I will ask you, Mr. Holmgren, known for coaching quarterbacks, very well known for coaching quarterbacks, how do you best prepare a backup that has not started a game in years, sir?
You know, it's tough, but having said that, I think, you know, the fact he played well last week and got in a considerable amount of playing time, that's a plus. He's a talented guy. I really believe he can run this offense. He's got running ability as well. So going into a game, if I had him, I would feel really good. I would just, you might pare down the volume of what you would normally have in a game plan for Russell, but I think he's going to play well. And what he has to do, which has been a bugaboo during his career when he was a starter, was the turnovers. So if they can stay out of trouble that way, I think he'll do well.
Coach, I mean, that you kind of answered what I was gonna ask was you'd pare down the volume of what the plays were. Like, I mean, to what degree is it different based on his playing experience in the past and the fact that he's a veteran and he's started before? Or is there? I mean, this offense wasn't really thriving necessarily as of late, even with Russell Wilson. How much do you think that they will have to pare down the playbook for him?
Well, you know, Bucky, the new coordinator came in, and he was a new coordinator for both quarterbacks, including Russell. So they all kind of had to start from scratch a little bit and learn a system. So in that respect, I don't think he's really behind too much. However, he hasn't played, and that makes a big difference. The other thing is, I think, and this directly will relate to how they ask what they ask the quarterback to do, is Chris Carson, I don't know, you guys might know, is Chris Carson going to play? How is their running game? How are they going to try and attack Pittsburgh to maybe take some of the pressure off the quarterback who hasn't played a lot? My personal feeling is, I said, I'd run the game plan. I'd set up the game plan, just back off a little bit in volume, and trust you to make plays.
Yeah, Carson probably not going to play Sunday night.
Wow.
So it looks like, yeah, exactly. It looks like Alex Collins will probably get the call again on Sunday night. I would ask, what does it do to a head coach, especially one as established as Pete is and as you were, if your bread and butter is the thing that isn't working on the roster? Like, I'm sure it didn't happen to you a lot, but how much did you take it personally? How much more did it hurt when maybe the offense didn't function and you know that that was your expertise?
You know what? That's a great question, Chuck. And it happened to me. It happens to everybody, I think, in the league if you coach long enough. And how I handled it happened to me once. And we were not functioning on offense. And it was the first time, and this is in Seattle, and it was early in my time here, but I said, listen, I went through a thing where I was really mad at myself. And so for the first time and the only time, I did it once, you know, I said, okay, I'm turning over the play calling. Maybe that'll snap us out of it. And I did that, and we had one of the worst offensive games. We were not functioning well, and then we really had a bad game. So I said, okay, maybe it's not that, and I took it back without hurting anybody's feelings. I mean, we worked that out. And then you just have to plow through it. You know, you believe in what you believe in. Do you have the players to execute it? And then let's just nose to the grindstone. Let's get after it and do it better. And we were able to do that, and I was kind of coming out of a slump. But I think it happens to everybody. And just how you have, that's how I handled it. I don't know how Pete, maybe he'll be a little more involved in calling the defenses. I don't know. But it's we're all different. But that's how I did it.
Coach, regardless, in my opinion, regardless of how Geno plays, as long as he doesn't kill him, right, just throw four picks or something silly and lose the game for him, if he just plays adequate quarterback, I think this game, they live and die by how the defense plays. And we've seen them get run on, and we've seen them get diced up in the passing game. If you're the head coach, what is it that you're making sure that you take away as far as your defense taking away from their offense this weekend?
Well, I think Pittsburgh, you know, they have not thrown the ball as well as they have in the past, and then their top receiver got hurt, and he's gone for the season. So I would suspect that Pittsburgh will try and control the ball, even though they have Roethlisberger, and he's done a great job over the years, that they will try and establish the run. So that's the thing that the Seahawks, you want to take something away or make them do something else. I think they want to stop the run and then make him throw. And then when he's throwing there, now you bring Jamal Adams and they're talking a lot about blitzing him more and all that kind of stuff. But stop the run first, because I believe that'll be a big part of what Pittsburgh tries to do against the Seahawks.
Isn't it weird? I mean, they are not the Steelers that we know. I mean,
no.
They are a finesse offense now. I never thought that the Steelers would become a finesse offense, and they're really not all that attacking on defense either. I mean, do you ever think you'd see a Steelers team that operated that way?
I never have. I never did. And that includes the Super Bowl. You know, I mean, they're good. And Coach Tomlin has done a great job there. And Coward, they've only had three coaches in the last 50 years or whatever.
Yeah.
And so they've always been the Pittsburgh Steelers and had a certain reputation and wanted to play the game a certain way. But you're right, Chuck. This is different this year. And so, but going in there now, the crowd's going to be fired up as always. It's going to be a challenge that way for the Seahawks. And both teams have something to prove. And so it should be a heck of a game.
I've been sitting on this question for you for a week. I wanted to get it in last Friday. We ran out of time, and so I've been waiting to ask this of you all week long, and it's actually a defensive question. Jamal Adams has been a big topic of conversation for months. I mean, ever since we acquired him, and he seems to be struggling right now. And we're, you know, the Seahawks are paying him like he's Ronnie Lott. But I think we need to push those comparisons aside. He does not play like Ronnie Lott. He's not as good as Ronnie Lott. He's never going to be as good as Ronnie Lott, who's somebody that you were associated with at one point. But I wanted to ask you about another safety that you had, and Leroy Butler, who was very physical and very aggressive and got a few sacks here and there for you. And I'm wondering if I can get Leroy Butler out of Jamal Adams, I'd be all right with that. I'd be satisfied with that. What is it that Butler brought to the table that maybe Adams can bring those same kind of attributes to the Seahawks football team?
Well, you know, you bring up a player who I loved and who was great for me and for the Green Bay Packers for a long time. And Leroy was unique. I think he and Jamal are different athletes.
Okay.
Jamal's kind of, to me, kind of a little bit of a blacksmith. He'll bang into people, and he likes to take shots at people, and he's physical and all that kind of stuff. When it comes to a little bit of finesse and maybe coverage and those types of things, I don't think Leroy was really good at that. I mean, you could do anything with him. Hmm. And so I think there was a little more versatility there. So having said that, How do they get the most out of Jamal? How do they play him? And they're thinking about it a lot. I mean, they're invested. He's got to be a player for them. He's got to be a good player for them. I would leave him in the box. I wouldn't put him back there in coverage too much. And but they seem to be doing a lot of tricky stuff on defense to me. And I think if they just narrow it down and simplify just a little bit, so and let the athletes go. Let him play and do what they do best. And I think he's best when he's in the box. But Leroy Butler, I'm glad you brought him up. He's got a chance. I mean, I think he should be in the Hall of Fame, and I think he will be one day.
I think you both should be in the Hall of Fame. How about that? How about that?
Ditto.
Try that on for size, Holmgren. I think
thanks, man. I
maybe the two
that.
Of you go in together. That'd be good. That'd be fun.
That would be fun. Will you two guys come back there for that?
Yes.
I know, Chuck, you don't like to travel because your hair is too long, but would you? You know?
Well, if they let me out of the state looking like this, yeah, I'll make it.
All right.
I'll get there. I'll get there for
I'll
it.
I'll be there.
Has Kraken fever swept through the Holmgren household at all?
Oh, we got Kraken stuff for our kids, yeah, and our grandkids,
nice.
Yeah.
Look at that.
But you know, Todd Leitwicki's running that thing, and he's a good friend, so yeah. We wish him well. I mean, it's an exciting thing for Seattle.
Yeah, how about Grandpa getting the right kind of things for Christmas for the kids? They're going to love that. All right, Coach, well, enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday.
All right, guys, good. Take care.
All right, there he is. Mike Holmgren joining us here on Chuck and Buck in the Mornings. And, of course, he joins us every Monday from 9 to 10 o'clock. So we get to pick his brain. So we'll have the Steelers-Seahawks game to analyze with him and you and Greg on Monday morning. It's all part of Monday Morning Quarterback. Our show closes out the week next with one last thing. Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Very.
Oh, so what are those scoundrels at KJR up to this weekend? Well, we got too much stuff. So you can't put it on the same station, you know, at the same time. It would sound awful.
It would be very confusing.
Yeah.
So Huskies on KJR Saturday. Kraken is on 1090 KJR and 102.5 KZOK, one of our sister stations.
Well, that's fun.
Sister stations, yes.
A Kraken Sharon. Saturday night.
Yeah. Sad part is that I went to prom with KZOK because I couldn't find a date.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah, I had to end up going with my sister station.
Your sister?
Yeah. Yeah.
Those were awkward pictures.
Really awkward.
Did you have to do that one where, like, one of you holds the other one's hand?
Hips. Yeah, I'm like, really, Mom, is the corsage necessary?
Yes.
It is my sister station.
Well, I mean, you got to make her feel special, Chuck.
Yeah. Well, hopefully KZOK did that night. I certainly did some things I didn't think I was capable of.
We all do at times.
All right. One last thing. Yeah, that's what we usually do here, but maybe we got to spend our one last thing collectively on some Seahawk predictions. So, Bucky, what do we make of this game Sunday night now that all the talking's done?
Oh, boy. You know, this is a rough one, man. I think it's a kind of a make or break, and I don't know for sure if that's when you want your quarterback, the guy that is the most positive thinking guy on the planet around. It's hard for me to feel like they're going to be able to overcome all that's going on right now. I think the defense has a chance turning things around if they just kind of say screw the worrying about getting beat over the top. We just got to trust our guys' athleticism, and we got to stop that stuff underneath and stop the run. I think that they could win the ball game. I just haven't seen anything yet, and unfortunately for that, I am going to choose Pittsburgh 24, Seattle 20.
Ooh.
Wow, very, very close to what I was thinking there. What do you got, Ashley?
Well, you know, somebody on this show has to be optimistic, so I guess it'll be me. I'm going to go. I don't think it's going to be a very pretty game by any means, but I'm going to go 20-17
Seahawks. 20-17
Seahawks.
All right. I don't think the Steelers are very good. Problem is, I'm not sure the Seahawks are right now either.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna say that home field advantage, that one or two points that you get out of home field advantage, will be the difference. I'm gonna go Seahawks. Steelers 24, Seahawks 23.
Woo.
I think it's going to be one of those kind of games.
It's going to be a nail biter.
I think Pete's going to settle for a lot of field goals again, and I'll be screaming at my television, and I will lose what's left of my voice.
And then you'll come here on Monday, and we'll be like, where's Chuck? And you'll be like, I'm right here.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That'd be wonderful.
Yeah. Great radio.
Yeah, you guys probably would like that for a change.
No.
Greg, what about the injuries?
Yeah. And Greg will be like, well, I guess Chuck, well, oh, don't worry, guys. Chuck's not here. Everybody do your own thing.
Coach, tell us a story about Brett Favre.
I'll just play lullaby music
radio
the whole time.
Yeah. I don't think we can afford any music. I couldn't speak over anything right now.
Oh, true. You want me to turn this up then? I'm just kidding.
You, did you last 44 seconds?
Let's bring in Mrs. Millen.
All right. Everybody have a great weekend, especially you, Ashley, and Bucky.
Thank you. You too.
That guy, you, over there listening in your car, Wilbur, is it? I don't care about your weekend.
Oh, you poor Wilbur.
But everybody else have a great weekend.
Yeah.
And we'll reassemble Monday morning at 6 a.m. Coming up next, Jason Puckett and Jim Moore. The tension has already started between those two guys.
They are just eyeballing each other right now.
Yeah. I think they have everything in the world in common.
They do. When I have never seen them actually. There might be a mirror. They might be the same person.
Yeah, I think at one point, and I don't know if it's like next week, next year, 5-10 years from now, Puckett will figure out that Jim is his dad.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Daddy.
Not for Jim, but for Puckett.
Dad.
All right, Jim and Puck next. Sports Radio 950 KJ.